The commits just keep rolling in.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Friday. We're one day away from game day back in Auburn. Early game kicking off against Louisiana Monroe. Ready to get after it. Hopefully find some kind of positivity to build on towards the end of this, down the stretch to this end of the season. We're going to talk about recruiting. Auburn picks up another big-time defensive back class. This defensive back class is just is unreal how deep and how good it is. Another interesting wide receiver prospect. And then I'm going to talk about critical thinking a little bit as a fan, listening to press conferences and things like that. Going to dive into that. But before we get started, we're going to give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND. Get a double-up deposit bonus. Give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back on top of it to play with. Literally all the sports. They have all the sports, all the lines that you can imagine, and all the different formats that you like to bet, whether it be parlays, teasers, round robins, whatever. Alternate lines, live betting. They got a little bit of everything for you, and you can have a lot of fun there. Use that double up deposit bonus. Don't forget about that. And then just get in there and have some fun. Check them out, mybookie.ag. Auburn keeps the commits coming regardless of the season, regardless of controversy, regardless of innuendo. It doesn't matter. They just keep rolling. And Auburn flips four-star defensive back Shamar Arnaud. Really intrigued from Carrollton, Georgia, Carrollton High School, that's a powerhouse team, puts out D1 talent. I mean, that's the Juju Lewis High School, and they have a ton of guys in the 2026 class. They got a lot of guys in the 2027 class that are very, very talented. And I think this is a big addition, just on his own. I think he could develop into a really good player. It's not very often that you get a 6'2", 6'3"-ish corner that can run. I think that's an intriguing prospect. Length is something that's very, very valuable. And if you can be long and you can play, pretty good combination. He was committed to USC for a long time. I think that was sort of to solidify the Juju. Maybe not only is he a good player, but also to try to solidify the Juju Lewis commitment. And Auburn just kept chipping away. They wanted him regardless. And then get him to flip finally on Thursday. We kind of hinted at it on the barn to be on the lookout for it. And then he pulls the trigger. I love this addition. I love this defensive backs class. It's an extremely deep class. We're going to go deep. We're going to go through it in just a second. But this takes Auburn all the way up to number three on Rivals recruiting rankings. They jump two spots all the way up to number three. And I just think about that. 3-6, a lot of controversy off the field, and you have the number three class on Rivals. And I know you may be thinking, oh, which site should we trust? Well, it's science that you take whatever site ranks you the highest, that's the one that's the most trustworthy. That's that simple. You always go with the site that has you ranked the highest. No, I'm kidding. But overall, it's just wild to see. It's wild to see that this staff just continues to stack up talent. I mean, and you've seen the ability, especially at defensive back, ability to be able to nail evals on the high school level. And then you add this guy to the room that's already incredibly deep. And then you have the possibility of adding a Naheem Offord as well. I mean, you have a unreal defensive backs class, and it has a kind of a guy that can do a little bit of everything. I mean, just walk through the whole thing. Your top-rated defensive back is Anquan Fagans. He's listed as a safety. He played some corner in high school. extremely versatile, extremely explosive athlete, can return kicks as well. I mean, that guy's going to be hard to keep off the field. As a freshman. I mean, just big time addition. Eric Winters. I mean, this kid is over 200 pounds, running around playing safety, playing offense, could play linebacker. I mean, he's elite. Like, some of his highlight film is him taking like 80-yard screen passes to the house, like just that at 7A in Alabama. So like a really the top of the classification that you can play against in the state of Alabama, and he pretty much dominates and on any side of the ball. Like, you put him anywhere and he can be a factor. I'm very curious to see where he ends up as far as his position when he gets to Auburn, because he can play. His size and athletic ability give him the opportunity to play several different positions. You know, our boy Blake Woodby, that's been a part of the show. I mean, you're talking ESPN five-star, very highly thought of, another explosive corner that can do a lot of stuff in the return game. I mean, those three guys right there are mega elite. And then you keep going, and you got Donovan Starr, who's probably the fastest player in the class, one of the fastest players in the class, like the not our class, the entire 2025 class. One that other teams are coming after late. You got Georgia coming after him late, Alabama coming after him late. I think he was scheduled to go to Georgia this weekend, and I think after a really good conversation, he canceled that visit. I think he's coming to visit Auburn. So, again, somebody you're battling to keep that you really like, another corner that's right there at 6 foot and can fly. I mean, another really, really good player. People forget about Devin Williams. Texas came really hard after Devin Williams. He's a smaller corner. Not really sure. Probably maybe more of a slot guy. And we'll see if he remains remains firm in the class. But, I mean, that's another talented guy from Georgia. That's Buford High School. That's also another powerhouse. Like, people forget about Devin Williams. And then you got, obviously, Shamar Arnaud coming in, just the most recent commit. Very, very interesting prospect. Very, very long. And then, obviously, you could add Naheem Alford to this class. I mean, you're talking about one of the more elite classes at Auburn at defensive back that I can remember. There was a class, the Carlton Davis class. That class, I think you had Javarius Davis, you had several guys that could play and ended up being really, really good. Those guys that they played early too, seems like 2015, 2016, something like that, when they were freshmen. I can't remember exactly which class it was, but that was a pretty solid class. I believe that ended up having a bunch of really good players in it. But I mean, last year's defensive backs class, you got two true freshmen that are starting and not only starting, but starting and playing at a really, really high level. And then you couple that with this class. I mean, Crime and Charles Kelly, they know what they're doing when they pick out defensive backs. Whenever they make an evaluation, you have a very, very, you feel very, very confident that they're going to hit on it. They evaluate, they pick them out, and then they get them. And this class really reflects that. And the depth, the versatility, really, really exciting defensive backs class. Now you just got to get that crown jewel and hang on. I mean, some attrition wouldn't shock me just because of the size. But overall, still, depending on which ones may look elsewhere, you still have an incredibly talented defensive backs class. You know, Zach Blackerby loves defensive backs, so he should be very fired up about this class. Got another commitment to talk about, and we're going to dive into that in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Look, I'm sure you've already started working on your retirement or your savings. This does not kick you out either. Okay. Whether you've started something, whether you haven't started something, you need to reach out to Ford Stokes. If you haven't, haven't started anything, he can help put you on the right path, with a custom plan that sort of gets you going in the right direction. If you already have something in play, he can help you make sure you're not paying crazy fees. He can make sure that you've done the steps to help protect your wealth from the IRS. All the different things Forger guy that can help you in any walk of life. So check him out, retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him we sent you. Get that free custom portfolio analysis as Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. All right, Derek Smith, Southside Selma High School wide receiver, Eric Smith, the twin brother of Derek Smith, who's also an Auburn commit. They both play on the offensive side of the ball. Derek actually plays a little bit of defense too, but Eric is a wide receiver, incredible frame, 6'6", 190 pounds, you know, just under that 200-pound mark. Not a ton of bigger school offers, a lot of smaller school offers, but very intriguing prospect because he does play at a smaller school, but typically at those smaller schools, throwing the ball, passing the ball is tough. Well, I think his stat line last year, he had over 1,300 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns, which is pretty that's pretty solid for small school ball, especially in the state of Alabama. I've watched a lot of film on him because there's not just a lot of talk about, you know, there's not much out there on him because he's just a sort of a lower. He doesn't get the accolades, or he doesn't get the attention that his brother gets. So it's something that you definitely you have to dig in and find, find some stuff on him. But he's a very, very interesting player. He's a little, not quite having that top end speed, but I think when you have that frame, you can do a lot of different things. Can he be a red zone target, a red zone guy? Could he be kind of grow a little bit and grow into a tight end? There's just a lot of different things that he can do because you can't coach that size. Really good hands. He has that's obviously, so you got the frame, you got the hands, you just the speed aspect of it. I don't know that he has that elite top end speed that you would see from a guy that's going to be a traditional outside wide receiver. So they've got a guy, the frame though is what you're excited about. And then obviously he's Derek's brother, and that just helps solidify that commitment as well. You hope that you're trying to bring both of those guys in. And I don't think it's just you take him just to keep the brother. I think you take him because you got some spots left at wide receiver. It definitely helps. And they got the tools that they can hopefully make into a weapon a couple of years down the road. So that brings Auburn to 28 commitments. I've been looking at, I've been saying somewhere between 28 and 30 is going to be the final number of the size of this class. And it looks like we're kind of getting close to there. I think you got a defensive lineman that you're out there looking to add, and obviously Naeem Offord that you're looking to add. And then surely you're going to lose at this size. You're going to lose at least, maybe one or two players. Now, who that would be, I don't want to speculate on. I don't really even know who that would be. But I'm just thinking, and it doesn't necessarily have to lose one or two, but I just feel like at this size of class and with the way NIL is and other schools' needs, like you feel like somebody's going to maybe throw something out there and try to pick one of these guys off. But I think if you get all of them, you take all of them. If you can get all 30, if you can add Naeem Offord, if you can add one of Joseph Mbachu or Darian Smith, those two defensive linemen, one from St. Francis Academy and then one from Grayson in Georgia. I think if you can get one of those two guys, you take them to add to this big defensive line class. And then obviously you definitely take Naeem Offord. That'd get you at 30. I think they'd take all 30 if they could, without going crazy and trying to get into a bidding war to keep some of the ones that it wouldn't hurt their feelings totally if they left. What a class, with all things considered. It's not even with all things considered. It's just a great class in general, as far as depth goes, all around. You add, you beef up the trenches. You really beef up the back end of your defense. You just kind of check a lot of boxes. I mean, it's easy to check boxes when you have 28 kids. So we'll see what happens and how they finish this thing off. I think it's going to be a wild ride over the next couple of weeks leading up to signing day. So hopefully hopefully we can build, just, man, try to find a couple of wins down the stretch here to just build some kind of confidence to where it makes their lives easier as they go into, signing day. Because again, I've said this analogy 100 times, there's blood in the water and the sharks are circling. And it's true. It's true. These kids' phones are blowing up, and I'm sure that it's going to be tough to hang on. But if there's any staff that's built for that, it's this one. They do a really, really good job. They do an incredible job on the recruiting aspect and the retention aspect as well. So recruiting's still rolling. There's not a ton of spots left. I think you're going to start seeing 2026 movement here pretty soon. Hopefully we'll get a couple of 2026 commitments. Maybe over the weekend, we'll see a couple of big-time defensive linemen. We'll talk about that, obviously, when they pull the trigger, just to go ahead and get the ball rolling on 2026 as well. And then it's obviously we're going to shift gears as soon as signing day's over and talk portal, which is becoming my favorite thing to talk about. It's because it's so action-packed and it's so fast and it's just right around the corner. All right, last little thing. We're going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit of critical thinking. Now, I want to preface this by saying that I understand that this season has been tough. I understand that watching the product that's been put on the field has been tough. I understand some of the emotional reactions, the anger, the resentment, even a little bit towards, Hugh Freeze and staff, especially the offensive staff. So I get it. I totally understand. But we're sort of letting emotion completely cloud the way we think critically. And I'll give you an example. Hugh Freeze, in one of his press conferences this week, said something about how, especially the relationship of how plays are called. I think he said that at different times, Kent Austin calls some plays. At different times, Derek Nix calls some plays. And at different times, he calls some plays. And I felt like everybody kind of lost their mind there on the reaction. And nobody stopped to think, definitely nobody in the media stopped to ask any follow-up questions. It was just Hugh Freeze says multiple people call plays. What a disaster. What a mess that must be. Well, that must be the reason that everything's going wrong, because three people are calling plays. It's confusing, blah, 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 blah. And nobody really stops and just says, okay, let's really, really think about this, because running game coordinators and passing game coordinators have been around since the beginning of football. There's been guys on the NFL level. There's guys on the college level that diagnose offensive passing plays that can work, running plays that can work, and then there may be a primary play caller. So guys having different influences on different sides of the game, different sides of the ball, is not a huge surprise whatsoever. That's not a big thing at all. It's not even remotely controversial. I think he mentioned that Kent typically leans on Kent when it gets to be third and long, because that's sort of his thing that he watches. I think the run game and some of the other stuff, he sort of collaborates with Derek Nix. I think most of that is just a lot of that's politics and giving your offensive guys a little bit of credit. They may not want the credit, to be honest, at this point in time. But then the biggest question is, okay, what does that mean as far as who gets to play into Peyton? Now, if there's actually three different guys calling plays into Peyton, I can totally see where that could be confusing, because you'd have three different conversations, three different messages. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Hugh Freeze calls the plays into Peyton Thorne. Hugh Freeze calls the plays into who's quarterback. Now, could he get a suggestion from Kent Austin? And Kent says, hey, I really like this on 3rd and 8. We got him on the boundary. I really like this play. And then Hugh takes that and says, I like that as well. Boom, let's call that play in. That's kind of what's happening. Okay. Derek Nix may say, hey, we got him on this last time. Let's hit him right here with this on second and four or second and six. I like it. Let's roll with it. That is no different. Well, this is the difference in when something like that said when you're losing versus something like that said when you're winning. Auburn played Houston. Bruce Pearl said, my offensive calls were bad in the first half, so Mike Burgomaster called every play in the second half on offense. Well, that didn't mean that Mike wasn't – I don't believe Mike was standing up calling the plays. I think he was kind of giving them to Bruce, and Bruce was calling them in. That's typically how stuff like that works, and that's what's happening on the offensive side of the football as well. It's not Kent's calling in a play to Peyton, Derek's calling in a play to Peyton, Hugh's calling in a play to Peyton. Hugh's the one calling the plays in. You can literally see him every single play calling with the play sheet, calling the play in. There's just a conversation going. I wouldn't be surprised also if only Hugh's headset goes in to Peyton. Like Hugh's headset goes to Peyton. That wouldn't surprise me either. Like we've kind of lost the ability to just sit back and ask, okay, let's ask some questions. Let's really think about this. Okay, let's think about those comments. Is it really that everything's a mess and you got all these different people calling plays and nobody knows what's going on? Or is it just a conversation like every other team in the country has that they call plays? And I think it's way more the latter than it is the former. It's way more that this is just a traditional relationship as far as offensive coaches go that say, hey, I want you to be watching this. I want you to be watching this. And let's have a conversation before we call every play, before we call every play. We've just sort of lost the ability. And some of that I put on Hugh for just having a bad season. And not being able to put wins on the scoreboard, put wins on the board. And now everybody's reacting. We're just reacting instead of thinking about what's said and asking, the right questions. I saw that all week and I'm like, wait a minute, guys, let's really think about this. Let's think about this for a second. Let's think critically. Let's don't just emotionally react when we read something. Let's actually think about it critically. And it took me 3 minutes. It took me 3 minutes to make a couple of calls, send a couple of texts to find out the way that Hugh calls every single play in. Every single play that goes into Peyton Thorne, Hank Brown, whoever it is, Hugh calls it in. So now take that information and let's talk about the comment of we have three different guys calling plays. Sure, I'm going to get maybe if Kent, who says I like this on third and 10 or I like this on third and 7, let's roll with it. Well, I'm in my mind, if I'm Hugh, I'm giving him credit for calling that play, and vice versa. If Derek sees something on second and short, third and short, and says, hey, I think we can get him here to get this first down, I'm giving him credit for calling that play, but I'm calling it into Peyton. I mean, that's typical football. That's just regular offensive football. That's that's just typically how it goes. So I think we need to try to, as hard as it is to see through the red, see through the anger of the way the season's playing out. I still think you got to think a little bit more critically whenever these type of conversations are being had. So that's my little soapbox. I'm going to wrap it up from there. Okay. Got to get a win this weekend. You're a 24 point favorite. Maybe you can find something that you can build off of to see if you can make a run at Texas A&M. That game got moved to a night game. So night games of Jordan Hare, especially when you're reeling against Texas A&M, we've seen that work out in Auburn's favor. Can Auburn sort of build on something and then carry it into Texas A&M? And then, obviously the Iron Bowl, just see what happens. But regardless, hoping for a dub, hoping for a chance to roll Tumors next week, because those opportunities have not been around very often this season. So, guys, I really I'm thankful for your listens. I'm thankful for your interactions. Thankful for your comments below. All that stuff. It's a ton of fun. Makes me want to keep going. So again, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be here every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.